This is the Off the Break Podcast, your podcast dedicated to current movie theater news, operations, and insights from the people that book the movies. Now, here are your hosts, Cody, Kyle, and Ken.
All right, and we're back with the post-Dune 2 Off the Break Podcast.
Yeah, and but I just found out who Kyle's favorite is.
Oh, yeah,
the
big
podcast.
Time.
And I'm not happy about it.
Well,
so
Kyle's
we'll see
favorite,
how this podcast goes today.
Kyle's favorite, along with the audience favorite, is me. Is me. Yeah, always has been. Even when I wasn't on the podcast,
Kyle yelled at
I was
you
still
give,
a favorite.
You give one of the other two hosts a small little critique.
No, it was a scolding.
About how to hold a microphone. And suddenly she thinks you hate them.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
Well, I don't feel very loved right now.
He doesn't like you, but he doesn't hate you, Cody.
As a producer, but as a friend,
also,
as my boss, you're terrific.
Also, take it or leave it on all accounts.
Yeah,
I can take it or leave it. All right, well, let's get into the good news from this weekend. Mm-hmm. Dune 2 hit projections, high-end projections.
Yeah, which was awesome. I mean, we just really wanted it. I know I wanted it at 90, but I'm just so glad it hit it where the industry was expecting it to hit.
Yeah, like 80 million.
We've been so far off on projections as an industry, and it was nice to see something come in where we all thought it would.
Yeah. I mean, even what you were saying yesterday or last week, excuse me, in terms of that hopefulness of 90 million, even you were thinking it would have been a stretch, but it just would have been a good sign that the eagerness of everyone wanting to see, you know, a movie such as this would be coming into play. But I think even with the 80 million, it just hit the threshold of what the industry was thinking, but it still is showing like that eventful nature of the theaters that audience were really craving for.
Oh, definitely. And it was nice to see that, you know, that look like upscale locations with large screens or Atmos sound are the real like winners in this scenario. This film played so well to those upscale experiences that it just really boosted that gross overall.
Right. But that being said, if you have a single screen theater in Kentucky, upscaling your theater to laser projection and Atmos may have slightly helped with this film, but it's not going to change every other film it's you like, put on screen.
It's like how everybody added 3D for Avatar. 3D really hasn't helped anybody since then. You just don't spend the money for the upgrades unless it makes sense for the long-term health and it goes with your branding and what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, Kyle actually saw
Dune
: Part 2. And
he went on an adventure to see this film.
I did. Had to brave through a snowstorm, got stuck in a snowstorm, but I still was able to see Dune 2 on an IMAX screen a couple of hours away from where we live.
And how was it?
Amazing, of course. Everything just looks better on IMAX. Like, I would watch, you know, like, a rom-com on an IMAX. Like, it's just, I'm just so jealous that another town by us has one and we don't.
Sydney Sweeney really doesn't have pores.
Yeah. Look at that. She just is so smart looking on that big screen.
In a bikini.
Yeah.
One of life's regrets. But obviously when it comes to like the visuals that we were seeing from the trailers and what we saw from the previous Dune, it makes total sense how this one could just look gorgeous and feel that epic scale that this story has. With such meat to its story as well, to just look so amazing on the IMAX screen.
Nice.
That's good to hear. We definitely saw grosses out of our IMAX preferred large format branded locations.
Oh, yeah. They were all sold out, those screenings were. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure even still it looked good on, you know, the regular size movie theater screens as well. But, you know, I just wasn't able to with the first Dune movie coming out, and I just wanted that chance to see it on an IMAX screen, so it was totally worth it. But it was also nice because I felt like even at a bigger theater, one that has IMAX screens too, it was still practically a sold out showing that I went to see. It was like midday on the weekend too, and it was just nice seeing you can kind of like pick out the general audiences from those that go to see movies more regularly. But even still, it seemed like this wasn't a movie to where they were feeling left behind in. In fact, I would almost say that while this is a sequel to the first Dune movie, it does a better job at inviting you in, even though, you know, you might get lost along the way in terms of, like, complex character names, or like which space army is battling which space army and those types of things. But I think you are able to still get the general gist of everything and what's going on, because it really does a better job at focusing on like characters and how they're feeling in moments, how they're feeling about each other, how they're feeling about the stakes as a whole, without bogging down in the weeds of like what this means in terms of this war. And what, like, it doesn't go too far into like overcomplicating the world building about this movie. It just does a better job with making you want to follow these characters along through the journeys that they're having and just be in the moment, and then see how everything else unfolds because of it.
Well, we saw good grosses. We saw great reviews. Another one from Kyle. But we still haven't gotten a green light on a Dune Part 3 yet, have we?
No.
Which seems odd.
Yeah, because that was one of the things, feedback that I got from people is like, it feels like there is a more story to have a Dune 3. Kyle, did you feel the same way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it leaves you at a point, especially with the main character, Paul, to where you're dying to know what's going to become of him and his journey as like the quote unquote chosen one of this series. But I've also heard that the next book in this series, called Dune Messiah, is one that goes,
let me guess, is slower, dialogue driven, has a lot of world building in it.
I think it's probably that, but I also hear that it takes like such, I guess, risque choices that even those who love the Dune books are taken aback by those decisions. So I wonder if, I think they still will confirm a Dune 3 eventually, but I wonder how that's going to go over, how many changes are going to happen as well.
Creative liberties may be taken.
Yeah, especially if like book fans and Dune fans of those books like know what goes on in the next book and even they don't like it, I can't imagine that audiences are going to also follow suit.
Right.
So it might just be a little bit of time to where they need to make sure that whatever creative liberties need to be taken will work for general audiences. But I have to think eventually we'll still hear that there's going to be a Dune 3.
Number 3 is the worst book in the series. Is this similar to Harry Potter after she figured out it wasn't like a lot of money, but it was like world building money with the fifth book?
With the fifth.
She's like, I don't know what to do now. I don't know. We're in the apocalypse now.
I still will say that fifth book is a better one than maybe Dune Messiah, but...
Uh-oh.
Again, just based on what I've heard from my book friends who've read both series.
Rutro Roadie.
But yeah, I really liked Dune Part 2. I was really happy to see even the most general of audiences be able to embrace this movie, because it definitely could be one to where they feel isolated from. But I think it does a better job compared to even the first movie of being a bit more inviting of... Well, Dune and its world and its characters. Like, even I remember seeing the first Dune movie, even I was like, whoa, wait, what's happening? What are we doing? But eventually I got settled in. This one, I feel like it has such a great introduction and it does a better job at almost like reintroducing characters and even like new ones as well, obviously. But it just does a better job at like coasting you in and being like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then it has a great build off, and eventually the 3 hours can like have a bit of pacing issues, but it sticks the landing for me.
All right. Well, before we get into Kyle's next two reviews, because he had a movie-filled week, I would like to announce that it is officially 4 years since COVID started.
Really?
This was the 11th was the date that Tom Hanks caught COVID, so everybody knew it actually existed.
Right, right. And then
So we're getting close to that, but it's 4 years.
Wow.
So the industry is past COVID. We're past writer strikes.
Right.
We're past Screen Actors Guild strikes. Mm. We still got the Teamsters, but we believe in you.
Yeah, we believe in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't here for that podcast where we said that everybody should be cheering for the Teamsters.
Yeah, the grips. Yeah. And the mic operators.
Regular people deserve the same raise that the actors got.
Right.
They deserve not to be replaced by AI, but they can't be replaced by AI.
No.
We stand with you.
Mm-hmm.
They're physical. Physical jobs can't be replaced.
4 years since COVID, and I think we reference it in every single podcast we do. So I'm instituting a new rule. Anytime someone references 2020 in a negative light, COVID, the pandemic, theater closures.
Post-COVID?
You say COVID.
Okay.
It's a dollar into the jar. And then that dollar is going to be used for whatever I feel like.
Oh, it's not to charity
I thought it was Kyle's Mountain Dew fund.
I think that's a great fund. I think really great people are influenced in a positive way by that fund.
Right.
Thank you.
But I think for the three of us on the podcast,
people are influenced by that fund. Just okay people.
Cody's face is now going to be pixelated out of every podcast and her voice changed. Brought to you by artificial intelligence.
Yeah. Maybe some good uses for AI.
Yeah. So from now on, anytime somebody mentions that word or that time in the theatrical industry, it's going to cost you a dollar.
It's going to be the time that shall not be named.
No, we're moving on. We're in a positive way.
Can't talk about the dark era.
We had an $80 million movie in March, and we're going to have hopefully a $50 million movie this weekend.
With Kung Fu Panda.
Again, in March, where we're used to having maybe one of those every month.
Right.
We're going to have a solid month. Let's move on officially. Okay. Let's move past this. There's no benefit to talking about it, and it's going to cost you if you do.
Were you looking up when Tom Hanks got COVID while we were at lunch? And I was like, what are you doing? You're like, I'm looking up something that I'm not telling
I did.
You.
Well,
is that what it was?
Yes. Specifically for me, that was what turned the tide for me, because I was out having drinks with friends from high school, and I don't live in the town I went to high school with, so this was like kind of an interesting deal.
Mm-hmm.
Cody calls me, I need you to come home right now. And I'm like, why? What's going on? She goes, Tom Hanks has COVID.
Just became real.
For me, it was like, yeah, I need to leave.
I'm like, why are we risking your life for drinks out there? You get home, get sheltered.
God's gift the man.
God's gift to our industry.
If Woody can't make it.
Yeah. He survived on a desert island, Ken.
Yeah. This one's a whole different beast.
He was losing oxygen in space for crying out loud, and now he's back.
Yeah.
Wow. That thing shall not be named really did start 4 years ago.
So no matter if anybody's talking about something, is deep in thought, trying to get a point across, the other two people need to very aggressively call them out.
Okay.
That's a dollar.
That's a dollar. Okay.
Yep.
Wait,
starting now or after this podcast?
Starting now.
What if I have more questions about the rules?
Those are the rules.
Okay. All right. Well,
I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't think there's any getting around
there's
it.
There's no nuance here.
I'm looking for an off ramp.
What was the worst movie going year in theater history?
I don't know. Sometime in the 70s, I think.
Okay, cool. Okay, Kyle.
Trick question. There was none.
No. No, it was 2012. Digital conversion. It sucked for theaters.
Yeah, but we've moved past that.
Yeah,
but is that another dollar rule?
No.
We don't mention 2012 either.
No, it's a nice like milestone point in our when we talk about the history of our industry.
If you say
it's not a nice point, it's
I mean there's
reference
a pothole
point.
In the road, but this one's a milestone.
Are there any other potholes between 2012 and now?
I think just one that might have swallowed a small car, but that's fine. Those happen. I think those are Kentucky roads.
According to Ken.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Kyle saw Zone of Interest and Teacher's Lounge, so it was a fun-filled day at the movies for Kyle.
I wish I was in another snowstorm.
Yeah, no joke.
I decided to be sad for a day, and it paid off.
Yeah. Kyle went to emo phase for the day. Pierced his ear with a paperclip.
You probably never heard of these foreign films.
Well, Zone of Interest is up for Best Picture.
Yeah, Teacher's Lounge is also nominated for Best International Feature, like Zone of Interest is as well. And I was shocked that they even came to this town, so I figured I should at least take a shot and watch them both. And I won't ramble on as much about these two as I did with Dune 2, just because obviously I don't think theaters are going to be playing these anytime soon. But I give them a strong thumbs up in case if you want to do a film festival type of thing. I think these two movies are very strong, especially for the Zone of Interest. They're obviously not everyone's cup of tea with their subject matters, as well as the fact that they're not obviously in American language. So yeah, if you just want to have interesting different movies for like a film festival effect, maybe you can try these two movies.
What is Zone of Interest about?
It's from the perspective of a Nazi general and his family who live right next to Auschwitz, because that general is pretty much in charge of it.
It's pretty happy-go-lucky movie.
His life is like in a bubble compared to what is happening on the
other
side.
Yeah, their reward is due to the atrocities that they cause and those who they work for are caused by. So a lot of it is like you don't see what goes on in Auschwitz, but you hear like the horrible screams and like the flames.
I can't help but laugh. It's horrible. Yeah.
As they're like having conversations over tea, and it definitely is brutal to watch.
So none of the fun, happy-go-lucky Best Picture nominees we've had in the past, the Top Gun Mavericks and the Black Panther Wakanda Forevers that would sneak in.
No.
What's Teacher's Lounge about?
It is about a teacher who suspects of a secretary that works for the school, and mm-hmm. she thinks that secretary is stealing from other students and teachers, like money and stuff like that. And it's like a question about like if she accidentally accused like the wrong person, and then it also leads into like distrust within like teachers versus students, as well as like teachers among their own in terms of like privacy and that sort of thing. It seemed like it was a commentary on like German's school system as well. That's the impression that I got, although for me as an American, I don't really catch on to like the differences necessarily between the American school system versus like German school system, especially like when it comes to how it was portrayed in this movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little less giving it a positive review as I did for like the Zone of Interest, which I think its premise is done better. Not that they're similar, but I just prefer that movie a bit more. But Teacher's Lounge I thought was at least interesting, and I could see others who are like wanting a film festival event or just a foreign language film. Maybe that one could do the trick.
Nice. And they're both up for Academy Awards this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of the Academy Awards, it's time to move past these hoity-toity, artsy-fartsy,
uppity.
Maybe not that word. And the rest of these awards shows. Mm-hmm. It's time to bring in an official list.
Yeah.
For
why are you laughing?
Films for the Off the Break Podcast Awards.
They're back, baby.
But this is an official list. I think we should continue with this list. I think we've covered all of our bases here.
Let's like workshop the list a little bit.
I think we've covered all of our bases.
Yeah. I think when we come up with our own awards, we're workshopping this over the next couple of years.
These categories, I believe, are different from last year's categories.
Last year's were fun and fancy free. These
you
are,
did put me in charge.
these are a way to actually reward movies that played.
The fun boss is in charge this year.
That played at the box office, that played in theaters,
he's
that
so
made
good.
Actual money.
I mean, I think my award once did that too.
It's time to get into this. Cody, would you mind reading the category aloud for us, please?
All right, the first category, best biggest box office standard film, 100 million plus domestic box office.
So this is to reward films that made the most money at the box office. So when the awards come up, everyone knows who is going to win this award. There's going to be no surprise. There's
the
no
best,
category.
Biggest box office.
There's no films announced as nominees. Everyone knows who's going to win this.
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Yep. Barbie won.
It was fantastic.
And they greenlit the sequel the weekend that it opened, I believe.
Yeah, immediately.
All right, our next category is best biggest box office small distributor film, 50 million plus domestic box office.
And this is easy to say that this will also not have nominees. This will be announced immediately.
No, there's some talk here. It's Sound of Freedom, runner up Talk to Me. Kyle nominated Godzilla Minus One, runner-up Sound of Freedom.
But I should double-check.
Sound of Freedom made $150 million, Kyle.
Yeah, but there Godzilla rules.
But Ken put Talk to Me on here, so even you guys have some
because it was nice. It was your, nice.
I'm
that,
happy with his Talk to Me runner up. I like that one.
It's nice that Talk to Me did very well at the box office
in like a dry part of the year, end of July, beginning of August.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've never, in the history of movies, have we got more questions or more hubbub around a movie, Cody?
When it comes to Sound of Freedom?
I guess maybe my problem with your categories is that you're aiming for one specific film and just to be like, you won one specific one. Film.
Well, you have and to vote. I would,
well, but there's no voting.
No, there's no nominees. This
he,
is the
way
one.
He worded the question, there's only one winner. It's the best biggest of this category.
Yeah, that's why it was the best biggest.
So I think it should be the best of the biggest box office films, and then we could put okay. a vote.
Something tells me that's what
so
I did
So out of these three,
year.
Which one is the best?
Godzilla.
I didn't see any of them, so I don't know.
Then what
I'm
are we
say
doing,
Sound
Cody?
Of Freedom, because it brought people in into the movie theater that probably hadn't gone to a movie since the 90s.
So you and Ken are agreeing.
I mean,
then.
The early 2000s.
I mean, even the 90s, maybe.
I feel like the 90s was 10 years ago. That's the problem. I was like, yeah, the 90s.
I mean, there very well could have been audiences that haven't gone to a movie since the 90s.
Right, that may have gone to that
AKA
movie.
A.K.A. my dad.
A.K.A. everyone's
my
dad.
My dad hadn't been to a movie in a while. He went and saw Dune. I feel like that was like an old man movie.
Did he see it in IMAX?
He did. Yes. He was very excited.
Did he like it?
He did, and he was, good. And he wanted a sequel. He was like, "There's more story there."
See, even those who step in the theater from the 90s, yeah. even they'll like Dune.
Yeah,
great movie.
So I'm gonna go with Sound of Freedom. However, I will say that Godzilla Minus One, I believe, also did that, just not on as big a scale. And I will say now that it is going to be the better of all the Godzilla movies we have in the next 6 months.
Do you mean, well,
versus? Grossing potential?
Maybe.
Get out of town.
No, what? No, no, okay. No, I think you mean in quality, yeah. which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think you're right. Sound of Freedom did have more audiences attending mm-hmm. it than probably Godzilla did, even with its pop.
Yes.
So we'll give it to Sound of Freedom then. I think you've both made great cases.
Yep. All right, the next category. LMAO movie, a comedy. If you didn't know a what comedy. LMAO
no,
was, he just wanted to really make sure that you know it was a comedy.
I put
movie.
It in subtext for you. You don't have to read those any longer. You can leave the quotations I put in there for you.
Ken had no hard feelings. Kyle had no hard feelings with a runner up, anyone but you.
Cody, do you have one?
No.
Okay,
no, we struggled this year with
I wasn't
comedies.
Allowed to be part of this, and then
I
Ken
said
told
you,
me
yes
that
you were.
No, and then Ken told me, I was like, you should just have to agree with me. So I was like, fine,
we
I'll
can't
read
let
it
Kyle
out.
Win.
Yeah. I was like, but you made the categories not being able to like add anything.
I think
them.
I think this one was an easy one. Anyone But You held up because of the dry spell we had in January.
I don't think Anyone But You is really a comedy. Like, I feel like No Hard Feelings is a true comedy. If you were doing the laugh my ass off, that tells me more comedy. So
she's
Anyone But You is a romantic
again.
Thing.
Yeah, I don't think she's supposed to do that. Does she know she's not supposed to do that?
Might have to turn it into a swear jar also.
Yeah, that's what I thought that your jar idea was coming from.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't think we swear that much.
Next but. Category.
Best Shit Your Pants movie.
Now, what does that mean?
I guess scary, because Ken's option is Scream 6.
I left the subtext out for you. Yes.
You also skipped one, but we'll come back to it.
I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Scream is a continuation of a franchise film, which people hate. They want something new, like Kyle put Talk to Me, which was brand new and so interesting.
Hey,
franchises pay for theaters.
And you went with Scream 6 over something like, wasn't there a Nun movie last year?
The Nun 2? Yeah. There's no way it made more than
Scream. Grossed more.
I would think
Scream
so.
Scream was a
but
massive
what,
film.
We're asking what the best scary movie was.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
we just
I'm,
talked
and
to
I book Ugh. Movies and I want.
And I just think about that visual of that nun and it just gives me the and creeps.
Yeah, I went to Catholic school and... I
all
want the movie that makes more
all
money.
I can think of
They're not
I,
so bad.
Okay. All I can think of when I see Scream 6 and then like whatever his ghost face mask is.
From Scary Movie?
Yeah, from Scary Movie, the spoof film. And then it's like, what's up? So, and then they get high.
So The Nun 2 didn't even crack 90 million for a total gross. So I think Scream 2 will win.
It won if easily.
Yeah.
In terms of like grosses, The Nun 2 and just, Scream 6.
I'm just telling you that if I was to look at the characters, The Nun was definitely a scarier character than the ghost face guy.
And I choose Talk to Me because I think at the very least it was impressive with like how much it made in a dry spell time more than Scream 6, which we kind of knew was going to be.
But it was February.
Yeah.
February is still tough.
Yeah,
it's not but a slam dunk for any film.
That guys, that dry spell in August was worse.
Yeah.
I think.
It was worse.
That's why I give it, I would give it the win here.
Okay. Best blow shit up movie, rated R only, because you can only have good blow shit up movies if it's rated R.
You can only have them if it's rated R.
Is John Wick even a blow shit up movie? That is just pure like punch people in the face movie.
Yeah, there was an explosion or two. What did Ken put?
You both put John Wick.
Oh, right.
And then and then Kyle put Oppenheimer.
Hey, something blew up. It just happened to be one of the most biggest bombs.
I felt like I had to put the R rating on it to avoid Ant-Man. And
we weren't going to vote for
Ant-Man. Yeah, that was.
No, but it was a higher box office movie, so it was better.
I know you went by box
I'm only going by box office because that's the most important metric. We always complain about that with the awards, that they never take that into account.
That's true, yeah.
It is my most important metric.
Maybe we should rename it to Best Bloody Knuckles Movie, R-rated only.
Yeah, but his title is like fun.
And you got to swear and you didn't have to put money in the jar.
But John Wick 4, amazing.
Yeah, but
it was
awesome.
I think
it's a little demeaning with the next one. Best nerd movie, fantasy, or science fiction.
Yeah, what are you trying to say here? Yeah. Who are you pointing your fingers at?
And you both
picked
Dungeons and Dragons.
I am literally pointing fingers at both of you because you're both giant nerds. We had the last time you guys were on together, we did 20 minutes on an anime movie that's in pre-production.
That was our lowest listened to podcast episode, by the
way. Not surprised.
I
wouldn't be surprised.
It wouldn't be surprising.
Yes, I put Dungeons and Dragons.
I brought up the Naruto thing to Ken the other day because I had more thoughts on it and I needed to get him out. And he's like, I do not care.
He's like, yeah, this category makes sense. Yeah.
I care about you. I do not care about this in any way, shape, or form.
I just doubled down that if they do the Naruto movie, it should be Shippuden, not the early stuff, given that he's such a little kid in it.
I think a lot of other fans would disagree. Anyway, last thing, it's because
Avatar had the little kids, and it's just not good. You just can't have little kids acted out in real life.
So for
weird.
Best nerd movie,
yeah, don't worry,
nerds,
Ken, I'll edit this out.
Kyle and I agreed on Dungeons and Dragons. He put Godzilla Minus One. Like that isn't a future documentary, just like Dune 2 is.
I do agree with this. I really enjoyed Dungeons and Dragons a lot. It is one of the few movies I did see on your list. It's probably the only movie on this on any of your lists that I saw. No, Barbie. I saw Barbie.
Oh, phew. Okay. No, Dungeons and Dragons, it was like one of the more surprising hits of the year, I would say. And a lot of the conversation when I hear people talk about it is, that was surprisingly good. I hope they make another one.
I know. It has a lot of positive feedback, but then you read industry like analysis on it, and they all poo-paw it because it didn't make its budget. I'm like, well, that doesn't mean that it wasn't. That just means that
it
somebody mismanaged it.
Right,
it just,
but if it starts getting awards, like Off the Break Podcast Awards, then maybe they'll reconsider it.
I'm sure Best Nerd Movie Award is really going to tip the scales.
It'll work for like the Kids' Choice Awards. It'll be fine.
How could it not?
All right, last category. This one's a new one. I'm not sure why.
Cody.
It's Admission and the Imposition Movie Romance category. I don't know what any of this means. But
if
Ken,
I buy a ticket,
Ken and Kyle both picked Taylor Swift for this.
If I buy a ticket to this movie, am I going to get some loving afterwards is what this is. And
not
Taylor
in our
Swift,
house.
Taylor Swift was.
You didn't go see Taylor Swift, I guess.
Taylor Swift was the clear winner in this category.
Yes.
If a man puts up with going to a movie, buying the tickets, buying the popcorn, and shutting up for
3+ hours,
he deserves a little bit of loving.
Okay.
What? Do you have any thoughts on this category?
So it made a lot of money.
Is this the theater
so.
And chill category?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That makes way more sense to me.
Yeah.
Could you tell that
I didn't want to say
I made these?
I didn't want to I didn't want to say Netflix and chill because
it's not
we
Netflix.
Work in theaters.
It's theater and chill, Ken.
That's dumb. It's got to rhyme. It's got to have something gotta
be
going
catchy.
For it. It's got to be a little catchy.
No.
Plus, it's funny because it's way too wordy.
Theater and chill makes me think of every theater that has their air conditioning up way too high.
That's just any teenager sneaking into any movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not as fun. Yet we had to find a reason and a good rhyme.
So Cody, you want to announce your just straightforward movie of the year, which was Dungeons and Dragons, I'm guessing?
No. No, I don't know which one it is, but from the list that you have
just
here in front of me.
No.
The Oscars are a fun time to put movie theaters in the forefront, but it has lost its way over many, many years.
Yes.
Where they don't actually look at movie theaters. It's about
the art
of the film. And we don't have any other art awards. Art for the sake of being art. Even the Grammys, I don't feel like it's art for the sake of art. Like, this is better than that. It's like, yeah, this was the best country album. Also, it sold 40 million copies. Like,
yeah.
That's usually how it goes.
Right. Yeah. At the very least, I hope things do change in terms of that, because we are seeing Oppenheimer and Barbie get nominated, but also we saw Top Gun, Avatar. You know, maybe there is going to be a silver lining for that soon, but we still need to see a bit more change within the industry for that to happen.
Yeah, we'll announce any surprises next week after the awards on Sunday, which there won't be. And Cody, what are you looking forward with the Oscars coming up?
I told Ken earlier today that I only wanted to watch the Oscars for one reason, and one reason only, to see Ryan Gosling sing I'm Just Ken.
Yep.
I'm just Ken's
I just
getting
love that.
One more chance of the spotlight.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't for two reasons, and like that Peaches movie from Mario Bros. Could have gotten a nomination. Yeah,
it should have.
Maybe.
What's your favorite song from this year?
Yeah.
Best movie song category.
It is. It was Peaches. Unfortunately, in the year where we had Peaches and I'm Just Ken, I have to go with the Peaches song because I can sing that more with my children.
How sweet. Have you seen Jack Black's cover of Baby One More Time?
Oh my gosh. I showed, a portion of it to Ken. It's so funny.
Mm-hmm. That was amazing.
That's him being his Jack Blackiness.
He's too good to the world. Imagine if he had COVID.
That's a dollar, Kyle.
I'll be upset.
Oh, darn it. I completely forgot.
I can't believe you.
I thought you did that on purpose. Thank you. Nope. All right. On this sickness-free podcast, we'd like to thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Off the Break Podcast. Find us on all podcast platforms and be sure to like and follow our Facebook and Instagram pages at Off the Break Podcast.